Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the OHM Infra Limited Q4 and FY 2023 conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the queue, you may enter star and two. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vikas Kothari. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, everyone, and a very good morning to all of you. On behalf of OHM Infra, I welcome you all to this fourth quarter and full year earnings conference call. We shall be sharing key operating financial highlights from fourth quarter and full year ending March 31st, 2023. Before we begin, I would like to state that some of the statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. Documents relating to company's financial performance have already been emailed to you, so please have a go through on those documents. So thank you once again for everyone for joining, and welcome to our company's conference call. It is good to be back after such a long absence. We hope that we will not have such long gaps in between our next conference calls. I am hoping everyone is doing well and staying safe. We haven't spoken in an extended period, and I'm delighted to reconnect with all of you today. Since our last conference call organized back in 2017, looking back at past 5 years, our company has achieved significant growth and success in the business. We have expanded our operations in new markets and have bagged new hydro projects also that have resonated well with our clients. Let me give you a small recap of our business. We have remained focused on our hydro business, which is our core strength. In the last 4 or 5 years, we are building a strong order book in our core business, which has grown by more than 4 times since March 2018 to December 2023, which currently stands at over 3,300 crores. The company has placed well in hydro business by providing hydromechanical equipment, which is our monopoly business, which also includes the order book now of Jal Jeevan Mission. We bagged first ever order in 2022. The company holds a certain land parcel, which is, you know, one-time project in Rajasthan. We have handed over the property also and to all the buyers, and we are expecting a cash flow of over 400 crores in the near future. And apart from this, we will be receiving cash flow from arbitration awards, which will be over 600 crores also in the coming years. Over the last 3 years, the revenue has grown substantially, higher backed by the growth in the order book in the hydro business from 817 crores in FY 2018 to 1,577 crores in FY 22. And in the 9 month FY 23, it has grown from 1367 crores and by almost 2.5 times, while adding JJM order book also, Jal Jeevan Mission order book also. And the revenue has grown more than four times till 9 month FY 23. Now coming to the present day scenario, we are well placed in the hydro EPC business, which is our core business, providing services like design, engineering, supply, erection, testing, commissioning, including transport, logistics, etc., from design to commissioning of hydromechanical equipments. Then we are also into O&M contracts, long-term and short-term, on-site maintenance. A lot of these hydropower projects, which are decades old, have now started coming into repair and refurbishment also. So we are receiving a lot of queries for repair, refurbishment, overhauling, which we are hoping will add a good amount of revenue. There is a Government of India program on this, which is called DRIP, D-R-I-P, Dam Rehabilitation and Improvement Project, where the World Bank has funded a lot of projects, both for the central government and state governments, and that brings a lot of opportunity. We have been fortunate to be successful in adding a couple of orders there. So, as explained to you, there is a lot of action happening in both hydropower, irrigation, and water industry, including Jal Jeevan Mission. Over the past few years, OM Infra has consistently been building order book across all these three segments. Since bagging our new order book, the company execution run rate has also improved. Over the course of past 5 years, it has helped in generating higher revenue in the engineering division, growing from around 230 crores to over 700 crores, which is a phenomenal growth of over 250% from FY21 to 23 in the engineering business, which is our core business. Over the past few years, we have rectified the overview of our business and have established ourselves as qualified bidder for major hydropower and water projects. Back in March 22, OM Infra was qualified and bagged a large project for Jal Jeevan Mission, which was totaling to over 2,000 crores, which is backed by Government of India under the initiatives of Har Ghar Jal, launched in 2019 by our Honorable Prime Minister, and started in FY21-22 with a total budget allocation of 50,000 crores to provide functional household tap connections to every household in the rural India by 2024. You know, of course, there is time overruns, etc. So these projects are we are expecting that these projects under Jal Jeevan Mission will take care of our continued growth in order book and revenue over the next, my best sense is at least for the next 5 to 10 years. Coming on the margin profile of Jal Jeevan Mission projects, and the EBITDA margins continue to be impacted by high input costs, which happened because of the Ukraine war. And basically what happens is the price increase gets compensated because we already have cost variation, price variation in our order book, but there is a lag in getting compensated for the price variation. So there is an interim or an initial, you know, drop in margin, but the drop in margin gets eventually compensated by way of escalation. So the contribution from Jal Jeevan Mission projects at the initial stage is you know, once the price variation gets factored in, we generate a healthy margin of 8 to 12% in the Jal Jeevan Mission projects. Also, the JJM projects which we have received so far should end in the next 2 years. So we will see a good order book, good revenue growth here, and of course, you know, a good order book growth also, because we are bidding for more and more projects going forward also. Apart from our main business of hydropower business, there's and hydropower and irrigation and water supply business, there has been a certain development in the real estate division also, where we have been monetizing the existing land bank that the company has. So you have seen in the last 2-3 years, we have started monetizing the land parcels available with the company. We built 2 residential projects in Rajasthan, which is Palesia, and in Kota, Home Green Meadows. We are expecting a total cash flow, cash inflow of approximately 400 plus crores in the next 2 to 3 years in the financials of the company. Coming on to our MHADA project in Mumbai, we have been holding this land since 2006-07. With an investment of about 120 crores. And since the project is huge, we reduced our holding and we reduced our financial exposure to this project by a joint venture with DB Realty. There are certain delays in the project, and the consortium has appealed this case against MHADA in arbitration. And the matter is currently in the final stages of hearing and expected to We are expecting to have the outcome of that arbitration very soon. The total realizable revenue in this project will be phenomenal. As we already know, when we took up this project, the sellable area, in the total sellable area in the project was roughly around 600,000 square feet, which is now increased to over 2.5 million square feet. And our share in that with about 17% stake should bring us a realizable revenue of over 700 crores as per current market rates. So this is going to be a phenomenal jump in the net profits of the company in the future. Lastly, on the business fronts, we have few arbitration awards in our favor, which will be directly added in our operational cash flow of the company over the next few years as and when they come. From Bhilwara-Jaipur toll road project, we are expecting a 580 crore windfall that comes to the company's revenue. Then we have a couple of other small arbitration awards, which are in some stage of challenge in high court and, you know, in various other places. So with this, for example, the NTPC Tapuan project, we have 50 crores arbitration award already won there, which has been challenged by NTPC in the high court. NTPC has already deposited the full amount in the high court under protest, and we are fighting that in the high court of Delhi, hoping for a clear judgment to come where we will get these proceeds in our cash flow. So with the over 500 crore of award in Bhilwara-Jaipur and 50 crores here, so, you know, roughly we are expecting that over the next few years, the company should receive another somewhere between 500 to 600 crores in terms of the net profit from these, the net revenue and profit from these couple of arbitration awards. One big success that we recently had was in a very old project called Kaming Hydroelectric Power Project in Arunachal Pradesh, where we had a dispute with the Government of India company called NIPCO. This we took this dispute into a process defined by the Ministry of Power under CCIE, and we were one of the first cases to be settled by CCIE, and the outcome of that has been that we are expecting to receive about 30 to 40 crores from NIPCO project, including plus not including another about 30 to 35 crores of bank guarantees also from the client. So a long drawn dispute in the project is now settled by the resolution committee, and our expenses and cost has been agreed to be settled, and the cash flows of that will are expected to come in the next just maybe 1 or 2 months. So, you know, the good thing that has started happening with the government's focus on resolution of all disputes is actually seeing the light of the day now. So I'm hoping that this will continue, and all these long-drawn disputes which were running in 2 years, the time period of settlement should get shortened significantly. So overall, summing up on the cash flow estimation, we're expecting about 1,800 crores of cash flow from the above-mentioned events, which will be added to the core operational cash flow over the next 2 to 7 years in our company's balance sheet. You compare this amount to the current revenues and the current balance sheet of the company, this is a significant upside. Now let me take you through the hydropower industry updates. Over the last one decade, the Indian energy sector energy transition has resulted in a substantial shift in the placement of the biggest players and sources of fuel in the energy value chain. According to National Electricity Plan 2022, India would need an additional 17,000 megawatts of hydro capacity added between 2022 and 2031. You know, an ideal balance for any nation is to have a good fossil fuel and renewable, which is hydro, mix. The ideal mix for any country is 60-40, where 60% should come from fossil fuels and 40% should come from hydro, because hydro is the only source of energy which can be, added and stopped in the shortest possible time frame. So the ratio got severely skewed against hydropower, and that has kind of reached an alarming level, which is why the government of India has suddenly increased their focus on development of or adding additional hydropower capacity. So this 17,000 megawatts of hydropower capacity is expected to be added in the next few years alone. And we are already seeing a focus on that by the announcement of new projects that have come up for bidding recently. Another 500,000 megawatts of renewable is also expected to be added on the grid in the next few years. India is aiming for a 50% capacity from non-fossil fuel sources by 2030. The need for flexible resources in the electricity grid becomes, it has become extremely critical, and therefore the focus by the government of India. Hydropower as a source has several advantages, including flexibility, extended project life, technical maturity, a clean power source, and advantages in irrigation, flood control, water security. We have seen a lot of border disputes also, playing a significant role in the capacity addition in the border states of India. Given its outstanding scaling abilities, hydropower is a crucial source in Indian power grid. On an average, the project take about 3 to 5 years longer than expected, but once completed, they are a big source of revenue, including, power at the cheapest cost. This has resulted in lack of information regarding ultimate project cost and limiting consciousness of the final tariff, but a lot of that is changing now with the hydropower projects getting completed, if not within the time period specified, but with a marginal increase in the time period of completion. The central power sector undertakings have been responsible for majority of hydropower plant constructions in India. The private sector was involved in adding capacity in India, but some of those projects which were stalled because of various reasons are now coming back in the CPSU basket, and therefore will also start seeing the development happening. Most of these private sector, large private sector projects have been taken over by either NHPC, NTPC, SJVNL, all the central government PSUs, and that will also come up for bidding and will see the light of the day very soon. Only about 811 megawatts of entire 2,100 megawatts capacity expansion in the previous 6 years came into private sector, which is now coming back to the central government PSUs. Overall, the private sector contributes to just 8% of the total installed capacity. This hindered the sector's progress and lowered its cost of competitiveness. The average price of hydro projects completed in the previous 6 years has been approximately 5.42 kilowatt hour, which is more than the highest fuel resource accessible on the Indian grid. Over time, the government has brought in various enablers to assist the industry to recover. These include recognizing hydro as a renewable energy source, establishing the hydropower obligation, and an independent entity with a 2.82% objective by FY 2030. To increase the tariff discovery of hydro, recently CERC brought upon certain amendments, including increasing project tenure period to 40 years, increasing loan tenure period to 18 years, and decreasing the annual escalation rates. These enablers can help in decreasing the tariff to Rs. 4.6 per unit. India would be requiring a total addition of more than 17,000 megawatts of hydro to meet the HPO obligation target of 2030, which is 38% addition from the present deployed capacity. In the current scheme, CPSUs are the best place to develop hydro projects by looking at the storage percentage, ability to absorb risk backed by high costs, high bargaining power with state discoms, and the ability to access low-cost capital. Currently, India has utilized 31% of total hydro potential, which India has, which mainly comes from the hilly region and a few states which are still unexplored. Recently, India has authorized its largest hydropower project in the nation's remote northeastern frontier bordering with China, as the country attempts to increase renewable energy to satisfy increasing electricity demand. The government has sanctioned $319 billion investment for 2,880 megawatt Dibang hydroelectric power project in Arunachal Pradesh. A state-owned hydropower company called NHPC is responsible for development of that project. The project is expected to complete in the next 9 years. Hydropower is recognized as renewable energy in India, and it is seen as critical in the country's moving away from coal in order to shift by intermittent solar and wind supply. The Indian government has also promised to support the development of non-fossil fuel energy in certain regions of the country and to sign a number of agreements for the construction of 13,000 megawatt of hydropower projects in Arunachal Pradesh in the upcoming days, with a total investment infusion of 1.5 trillion rupees. With 1,100 megawatt existing capacity, Arunachal Pradesh has more than 40% of world's hydropower potential. One of the four dams in Subansiri Lower Hydropower Project was finished in FY24. 2,000 megawatt Subansiri Lower Project belongs to NHPC. NHPC is also building 2,880 megawatt Dibang Project, which would roughly cost 35,000 crores. In the districts of Upper Siang, the northeastern state is engaged in a very ambitious hydropower project. The 10 gigawatt, which is 10,000 megawatt project, now in the development stage, will be the biggest hydroelectric project in the nation. The Chief Minister of Arunachal Pradesh and Union Ministers will address both 10,000 megawatt Upper Siang project and 13,000 megawatt new hydropower projects in the upcoming weeks. 17,880 megawatt of additional hydropower, or 38% of India's present hydropower capacity, would be produced in Arunachal Pradesh as a result of ongoing projects and 13 MOUs that are scheduled to be signed in the following week. The nation now has an installed capacity of 416,000 megawatt, with 46,850 megawatt of that capacity belonging to hydropower, which is only 11% of the total power generating capacity that we have in the country. So we see a significant focus on hydropower in the next few decades. Coming on to company's performance during the year, company has received LOA from BMC for the work of design, build, operation, maintenance of Vandup water wastewater treatment facility under Mumbai Sewage Disposal Project Stage 2, which is roughly around 1,100 crores, of which OHM Infra's share is 30%. This project is expected to be completed in the next 48 months with the LOA and further 15 years of operation and maintenance. During this year, this financial year, the company is proud to have recommended a final dividend of 50%, which is 50 paisa per equity share on face value of one each for the financial year ended 31st March 2023. The company has additionally acquired 2.28% shareholding of Bilwara Jaipur Toll Road through allotment of converting debt into equity. Now it has become shareholding. Now it has shareholding of 51.28% in the subsidiary company. At the end of FY23, company has an order book of over 3,200 crores, which is more than four times of FY23 revenues, out of which roughly around, 50% order book is of Jal Jeevan Mission, and the remaining is hydropower projects. The Jal Jeevan Mission projects that we have backed are in states of UP and Rajasthan. Both these states are very focused on fast execution of these projects. And likewise for hydropower projects also, our clients are central government PSUs and some state governments, which are very heavily focused on completion of these projects in a time-bound manner. And therefore, we will foresee the growth of revenues happening in the same manner as we have done in this financial year. Company is also bidding for new Jal Jeevan Mission projects across the nation and expects to receive new orders in the near future. And Government of India has also allocated a budget of 70,000 crores for the Jal Jeevan projects, effective implementation of Har Ghar Jal Yojana of the Honorable Prime Minister. OM Infra, with its dedicated track record and leadership position in the hydropower and water infrastructure business, is ideally positioned to capitalize on this potential, on the potential in this field. Also, the company has a growth opportunity in hydropower sector as the Government of India is pushing for a sustainable energy from reservoirs and various water bodies. On the financial performance, coming on the financial performance for the quarter, the revenue for Q4 FY23 has grown by 185% year-on-year to 347 crores, which is by far the highest we have ever done in the history of last 50 years of the company, as compared to 122 crores in the previous financial year, previous quarter financial. Operating profits for the quarter stood at 21 crores, up by 307%. EBITDA margin was recorded at 6%, which was largely impacted by the lag in the recognition of price variation from Jal Jeevan Mission projects. So the 6% EBITDA margin is not true reflection of the actual margin in the project, but it is just reflects the lag in the recognition of the price variation from these projects. The net profit for the quarter was recorded at 8 crores, up by 624% year-on-year. Coming for the full performance, the revenue for FY23 has grown by 155% to 799 crores as compared to FY22, 313 crores. Operating profit for FY23 stood at 38, down by about 14%. EBITDA margin was recorded at 5%, which was largely impacted because of the lag in the Jal Jeevan Mission price variation. Net profit for FY23 was recorded at 13 crores. Gross debt to equity stood at 0.18. Net debt to equity stood at 0.07. Current liabilities are at 414 crores. Trade payables of about 179 crores. Inventories at 544 crores. Cash and bank at about 75 crores. The net working capital days stood at around 600 days. So with all this information, I think I can leave the stage open for any question and answers from all the shareholders.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one at this time. The first question is on the line of Tanmay from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mr. Kothari. Am I audible?
Yeah.
First of all, congratulations. I believe this is your highest ever quarterly and yearly performance. So, heartiest congratulations. And I think your presentation is also very informative. So, thank you for both of these. If I can just start with, I have a couple of questions. I can just start with the first one pertaining to your margin. So based on what you said, sir, my understanding is that historically your engineering business has been posting operating margins of around 20-22 odd percent. But now because of the Jal Jeevan Mission projects, your margin would come down to around 14-15% on a sustainable basis. Is that right, sir?
So, see, Jal Jeevan Mission projects are Certainly, see, hydromechanical used to be or is actually monopolistic kind of a business, and therefore we enjoy double-digit margins there. Jal Jeevan Mission is certainly not as remunerative in terms of the gross margin and or net margin, but it's certainly double-digit margin. The only problem that happens is that the price variation affects the initial execution of the project, because the price variation is always lagging behind by at least one or two quarters, because the formula always is based on indices, and the indices take 2 quarters to come, and therefore the lag in the recognition of price variation. Therefore, you see a bit of a dip in the margins.
Right, sir. But in terms of absolute numbers, I think because of your increasing top line, your overall profits will continue to grow, albeit at a slightly lower margin per se.
All of these projects that we have bagged are have been bagged with a healthy margin. We did have a bit of an impact because of the price rise in the cost of raw materials because of the Ukraine war, especially the DI pipes and the MS, increase in the MS. But we have, as fast as the price rise happened, the price drop has also happened equally with equal speed. So, you know, we are seeing that the margins are back to getting back to the double digits.
Right. And so if you could also throw some light on the, you said that there's almost, if I got the number correct, you said around 1,800 crores from your various monetization that you've put in your presentation. So what are the timelines expected for some of these cash flows? And how confident are you that that will happen?
See, we cannot put a any fixed timeline to this as of now, because any number given by me will be the best case estimate. But what I can tell you is that the breakup of this 1,800 crores is, you know, roughly about 500-600 from Mahada, which is a real estate project in Mumbai. Then about 500-600 crores from road, and about 300-400 from Palatia, which is a real estate project in Jaipur. And the 500-600 is a road asset, that the arbitration that we have, and about 100 crores from other arbitration. So that is how the cumulative figure of 1,800-1,900 has come. Now Mahada may take about 3 to 5 years to come. Road is in litigation, so they've challenged it in the High Court, and you know how the court processes work. So my best case estimate would be anywhere between 2 to 3 years of it should come. Palatia realization, the project is already completed. There is no further, you know, we have received the OC also, so therefore the sale. Now the only thing that will happen is the sales velocity will increase, and we will realize these revenues of roughly around 350 to 400 crores in the next 2 to 3 years. So I have the highest amount of visibility, clear visibility on Palatia, on the arbitration claims in the next 2 to 4 years, I would say.
Thank you very much, sir, and all the best. I'll probably join the queue again if I have any more questions. I'll probably let someone else take up now.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pinaki Banerjee from AUM Capital Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Actually, my first question is, in your presentation, you have stated that the current order books are about rupees 3,200 crores now, and also that tenders worth rupees 4,000 crores also where you have bidded are in the pipeline. So, sir, how confident are you to grab these tenders, and were you expected to emerge as L1 bidders in this 4,000 crores?
So, you know, bidding is already in, they're all in various stages of bidding, and we're hoping to add within this financial year another, 500 to 1,000 crores at least, if not more.
Okay.
On a conservative basis, we should add about 500 to 1,000 crores at least in this financial year itself.
Okay, sir. Sir, and the next question is coming to a balance sheet actually. Contrasting that inventories have actually, they have fallen from 659 crores to 544 crores, but while the sundry debtors has increased by almost 3 times from 86 to 242 crores. So, sir, can you throw some light on this, please?
Hello.
Yeah.
On behalf of company, I would like to reply this question.
Okay.
As the turnover grew by threefold in this fiscal year.
Okay.
So correspondingly, our receivables also grew the same proportion.
Okay.
One thing happened that so far we were recognizing the work in progress at cost.
Okay.
With the change of Indian accounting standard, the work in progress, which has been ready for billing to the project authorities but not been billed and approved by the authorities, have been booked as unbilled revenue in the balance sheet.
Okay.
So revenue has recognized as receivables in the balance sheet. As unbilled revenue contract received. This has escalated the receivables in the balance sheet for up to 240 crore as compared to 80 crore last year.
Okay. Okay, so fine. That's all for my answer. Thank you.
Thank you. Any participants who wish to ask a question may please press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Rajneesh Behel as an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations on good set of numbers. Actually, I have two questions. Like you said, the hydroelectric projects, I want to ask whether you do bidding on EPC basis all the project, and how are the payment timelines, like milestone based or monthly based, and do you have any like penalty or liquidated damages clauses on any of the your projects or on all of your projects? And how much is retention money being kept on these projects?
So we bid for hydropower projects, which are of two kinds. One is central government PSUs and the other one is state government corporations. We have... I think your question was milestone-driven payments. Yes, we have milestone-driven payments, and yes, we have progressive payments also. So we get typically 5 to 10% advance from these clients against bank guarantees. Then we get milestone-driven payments, which is after approval of design drawing, after approval, after mobilization at the site. Then you know every at every stage of progress in the work, we get some payments. So these are all staged payments. The last 5 to 10% is retention amount, which is retained against defect liability period. Defect liability period is roughly around 12 months, and so in most cases we get released that defect, that 10% also against a bank guarantee. So therefore, there is a lot of requirement of non-fund based limits, which is basically bank guarantees, and bank guarantees are pretty much our raw material. But cash flows and payments are very healthy because hydropower projects funding is already in place. So, you know, the moment we place our bills, we get paid within 30 to 40 days. So that's never a problem. As regards penalties, yes, we do have penalties. Penalties can range from anywhere between 5 to 10% of the total project value, depending on the delay that happens. Most of the time, the delays are not attributable to us. The delays are attributable to outside circumstances or because of the delays in site availability or land acquisition, etc. So if the delays are not attributable to us, they are well compensated by the client to us. If the delays are attributable to us, then we have to incur penalties. We have been fortunate to not have incurred penalties in pretty much, I would say, most of our projects.
That's good to know. And is there any price variation clause on hydroelectric projects also, because this involves a lot of steel now? And is there any chance of improvement of working capital cycle?
All the hydropower projects that we have in our order book, including the ones which we are bidding for also, have price variation clause built in them. We don't sign any contract without price variation built in them. So that's to answer your first question. Your second question was the working capital cycle is there's a significant improvement, including state government. See, typically central government PSUs are very healthy and their payment terms are very healthy. They don't delay their payments. States also sometimes there are delays, but most of the time you get paid within 30 to 60 days. So there's usually not a problem. The only problem that happens is that because of milestones, the working capital cycles do get stretched. Because milestone may you have, unless you achieve all the 10 or 20 items in the milestone, the payments are held up. So
Understood.
That's the only
Understood.
Case that happens sometimes. Yeah.
And second is on Jal Jeevan Mission projects. What is the like current progress and the timeline for the completion of project? And you're talking about the price variation clause. So is it on the like only purely on the index basis, or you have some pegging ratio for like steel material that you peg, like it was 100 during the bidding, now it has become 120, you will get full amount of variation, or only it is based on the index?
Our price variation formulas are already inbuilt in the contract, and they are based on some formula and index. So, obviously, in most cases, they don't fully compensate. I wouldn't say 100% of the price increase is compensated, but especially when the rise is, enormously high, like what happened in the recent past. But I would say about 90% is covered. We get a price variation on account of rise in steel, on account of rise in cement, on account of rise in labor, and fuel also.
Okay, and second question was regarding what is the progress on current Jal Jeevan Mission projects, and what is the timeline for completion of these projects?
Jal Jeevan Mission has a lot of focus by both by the central government also and by the state government also. See, what happens in Jal Jeevan Mission projects is that 50% of the funding is coming from the central government, and the central government is very strict about the timelines of the project. So therefore, and the fund disbursement and the utilization by the state government is also strictly monitored. So this results in expeditious implementation of these Jal Jeevan Mission projects. We are working in two. We have two large orders from two large state governments, which is UP and Rajasthan, and both governments are very focused on the early completion of these projects. So the current order book that we already have, my expectation is in the next 12 to 8, 24 months, all these orders should get completed without any delay beyond that.
That's very good to know. That is like quite fast. And the third question is regarding your monetization. You said that road arbitration will take place within 2 to 3 years of time. So during these 2 to 3 years, whether we will get further interest cost on our base price, which is already awarded?
So the award is already covering the interest until the time the payment is made to us. But what happens typically is that, first we have to win in the court. Then after winning in the court, after winning in the High Court, state government will obviously appeal in the Supreme Court also. Once the state government appeals in the Supreme Court, they lose in the Supreme Court, then the state government will invite us for a negotiation. So in that process, I'm not very confident whether we will get the entire amount and whether we'll get the entire interest also, which has been already awarded. The award already covers the interest also until such time that the payment will be made. But when it comes to settlement, we may have to forego some interest amount, we may have to forego the rate of interest, etc. So therefore, there is a bit of a vague,
you put out
idea behind the amount, final amount.
Understood. And for real estate project for the Jaipur, you say another 2-3 years time will be taken. So is there any stage-wise realization, like in this financial year, next financial year, how much will be the realization in if you consider like 2-3 years of time frame?
So since the project is already completed, and since the OC has also been received for our Jaipur project, so therefore, in terms of realization, there is nothing holding it back. Now, with the revenue realization, revenue recognition will simply depend on the sale. So as soon as the sale happens, the registry of that sale can be done immediately, and therefore the 100% recognition of that sale can be done also.
Okay, so is there any, are you expecting any revenue in this year?
In this financial year, based on, you know, the number of units that we sell in this financial year, the entire sale will be recognized for those units sold. How many units we
Okay, and how much?
sell is just a guesstimate. But since the project is completed, I think the sales should be quite healthy.
Okay, is there any terms in value terms you can quantify? How much may be that value?
Sorry, I would like to interfere. In terms of sales of the Palasya project, we have only recognized so far 120 crore out of sale of 292 crore rupees as a consideration. The balance 170 crore will be recognized in this financial year as soon as we get the conveyance deed of those buyers. The money has been realized by us, but only conveyance deed execution is pending. And as soon as that gets, we will recognize the revenue in our balance sheet in this current year. So we are expecting that 100 and 120 crore will be revenue recognition in Palasya in this year, even if we don't sell any project, any new unit.
Thank you, Mr. Bell. Requested to join the queue for any follow-ups. The next question is from the line of Guneet Singh from CCIPL. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I just have one question. So looking at the current run rate, we did revenues of around 350 crores, and I just want to know whether this number is sustainable or not. So can we expect to do revenues of about 1,400 crores in financial year 2024? And as per the margin profile, as you said, there is a price variation clause. So can we expect the margins to be in double digits in FY 2024?
So the revenue recognition, when it comes to these kind of projects, is not a linear revenue recognition. You know, especially in monsoons, the recognition from infrastructure EPC goes down. And it also truly depends on how much of supplies we do. So I would suggest that you should not look at the revenue recognition on a quarter-to-quarter basis. But certainly on an annual basis, we will certainly have a significant growth in our annual revenues from the engineering business, from the current existing order book itself. Because you see, with 3,200 crore of order book, where we are at the peak of the execution anyway. So, you know, all of these projects are already at their 20, 30, 40% of execution. Now, obviously, the work doesn't stop, nor does it slow down. It just keeps on growing from here. So therefore, you know, 3,200 crores to be executed over the next 2 to 3 years maximum will, even if I linearly divide that, it will result in at least 1,000 crores in revenue in the engineering business alone, is what our expectation is for this current financial year. Added to that will be revenue growth from the real estate and from other sources. As far as margin is concerned, the margin is already locked when the project was bid. So, you know, margins will continue to improve. In fact, we'll keep on adding the escalation revenue, the price variation revenue also, which will further improve the margin going forward.
All right, great. Thank you very much. So is there any internal number that you're looking at the kind of growth for financial year 2024?
I would say at least, you know, from 700 crores, the engineering revenue should jump to 1,000 plus in this current financial year.
All right, great. That is very encouraging. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishikesh Oza from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is regarding the real estate. So what operating margins are we looking for our Mumbai projects and for projects excluding Mumbai?
I wouldn't like to comment much on the Mumbai project because unless and until the revenue recognition starts, the margins anyway are already frozen because on this expected revenue of 600 to 700 crores from the Mumbai project, our cost towards that project will be very minimal. We may have to just contribute the premium that we have to pay to MADA and the construction cost. So our margins in terms of profit margin in that revenue of expected revenue of 600-700 crores is phenomenal. So that is to answer one part of your question. The other part regarding Jaipur project, Janta.
Yeah, we would be closing the operating revenue of 20% after the sales are entirely booked. We are hoping that 600 plus crore will be booked in the revenue in total, and we will have profit of 20% at least.
20% is the profit PAT margins you are talking about?
Pre-tax,
okay. And also one more question on the MADA. So could you share any timeline, like how, when can we start with the project or anything?
As of now, we are waiting for the arbitration award to come. Once arbitration gets concluded, then all the other things are going to start moving. In the sense that then we'll know what are the timelines, what are the process to start implementation on the project.
Okay, and when is the next hearing?
I'm hoping that by July or August, we should receive the arbitration award in our hand. Arbitration decision, not award. The arbitration decision in our hand.
Okay. That's good. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsh Saraskal as an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Vikasji. Thanks for the con call. I hope this will be a continuing practice going forward.
Absolutely.
Hello.
It will be. Yes.
So I have a few questions on Bhilwara toll. Has the order been challenged and any amount deposited under protest by the government? Hello.
Yeah, the order has been, Jensab.
Yeah.
There is no money deposited in the court by the state government, but the order has been challenged by them in the High Court.
So would they need to deposit any amount under protest for challenging the order?
Jensab, can you throw some light on this?
I would like to add here that the interim, arbitration award was given in two phases. One is an interim award for debt, and second is the final award for equity. Debt award has been received, and the amount has been deposited in the bank, and our loan has been almost fully liquidated by the PWD by depositing the money into the bank. So our debt liability has almost been over, and the equity award, which has been received recently in February for 579 crore, that award is in the process of challenge by the BWD in Commercial Court, High Court, and we don't think that they will be able to challenge this award without depositing any initial deposit into court, maybe 10% or 20%, but they will surely deposit some amount of money in court before going to challenge this award.
Got it. So that means the first 199 crores we have received and the debt has been paid off.
Almost 90% of debt has been kicked off, yes.
Okay. And who holds the remaining stake in the company, Bhilwara Toll?
51% is held by us and 49% is held by STML Infra Limited, which is a Calcutta-based company.
Okay, got it. On the real estate project of Jaipur Palesia, what is the average selling price we are realizing right now? And has it increased in last 2-3 years?
Right now, we are selling at roughly 12,000 and 12,500 per square feet. And last 3-4 years, post-pandemic, the amount is same almost. And in the initial stage, when we launched the project in 2011-12, that time it was 8,000 per square feet.
Okay. Okay. And on the Jal Jeevan Mission, I wanted to ask, what are the receivable days in the Jal Jeevan Mission?
Like 45 days.
Okay. So going forward, if our turnover goes up, working capital need and debt will be going up in the company. Is it right to presume that?
No, working capital cycle will be reduced and debt will not increase because these projects are not on debt base. It's all on cash content base. So debt will not be much, but working capital cycle will be improved much as against current cycle.
Okay. And last question on the MADA project. So DB Realty would be constructing this project going forward, or we will be looking for another partner in the project?
We are still contemplating that. We are still working on that. So there's nothing frozen on that as yet.
Okay, but our stake won't reduce from the 17% which we hold. That will be there, no?
Yes, that will be there.
Great, great. Thank you so much for your time and all the best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to our participants, please press star and one to ask a question. The next question is on the line of Jagdish Munza as an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Namaste. मैं हिंदी में ही पूछ रहा हूँ और हिंदी में जवाब चाहूंगा क्योंकि कुछ हमारे पार्टिसिपेंट है वो शायद हिंदी में कंफर्टेबल होंगे तो हाँ इसमें काफी क्यूरीज का तो मैंने जो नोट किया उसका आप लोगों ने पहले ऑलरेडी एड्रेस कर दिया है जैसे मेरा सबसे पहले आर्बिट्रेशन का था नेशनल हाईवे माडा एनटीपीसी और निपको तो इसका क्या मतलब कब क्या आएगा तो उसमें ऑलमोस्ट विकास जी ने काफी मोटा मोटी एड्रेस कर ही दिया है कि नेशनल हाईवे को दो तीन साल लग जाएंगे और माडा को भी टाइम लगेगा एडमिनिस्ट्रेशन को एनटीपीसी का क्या बताया मैं सुन नहीं पाया और निपको का जो 30-40 करोड़ का जो अवार्ड मिला है और अपने म्यूचुअल सेटलमेंट में तो उसमें तो टाइम नहीं लगना चाहिए मेरे हिसाब से क्या पोजिशन है
निपको वाला तो अगले 2-3 महीने में ही मिल जाएगा
अच्छा
एनटीपीसी वाला अगले 1-2 साल के अंदर मिल जाएगा रोड वाला अगले 2-3 साल में मिल जाएगा
हाँ तो माडा का अपने जो आर्बिट्रेशन उसका तो है मेरे हिसाब से कुछ टाइम
नहीं माडा का आर्बिट्रेशन डिसीजन अगले 6 महीने के अंदर आ जाएगा लेकिन आर्बिट्रेशन डिसीजन आना काफी नहीं होता आर्बिट्रेशन डिसीजन के बाद फिर हम लोग प्रोजेक्ट की प्लानिंग करेंगे आर्बिट्रेशन डिसीजन तो खाली सिर्फ इस चीज के लिए चाहिए हमारे को कि पहले जब हमने प्रोजेक्ट लिया था तब 4-5 लाख स्क्वायर फीट एफएसआई थी और अब वो बढ़ के एफएसआई बढ़ गई है तो उसके लिए हम आगे मतलब क्या मॉडल रहेगा रेवेन्यू शेयर का या वो प्रीमियम का जो हमारे को माडा को देना है तो उस उन सब चीजों को लेके आर्बिट्रेशन में कार्रवाई चल रही है वो आर्बिट्रेशन का डिसीजन आने के बाद फिर प्रोजेक्ट टेक ऑफ होगा प्रोजेक्ट के रेवेन्यू रिकग्निशन तो आप 3-5 साल के अंदर मान सकते हैं
नहीं तो वो तो अपने बीइंग अपने जॉइंट अपने बीइंग लैंड ओनर अपने को तो जो सेंक्शन होने के बाद में एफएसआई अपने अगर चाहे तो उसको तो एजीपी या जो भी है या एडवांस बुकिंग में तो अपने कर ही सकते हैं उसमें कोई प्रॉब्लम नहीं अपने तो लैंड ओनर है तो अपना खर्चा तो कुछ लगने का है नहीं आगे डेवलपमेंट का
हाँ ऑप्शन तो बहुत सारे हैं अब उसमें से क्या बेस्ट ऑप्शन रहेगा
नहीं अपने जैसे डेवलपमेंट अपने जो एफएसआई सेंक्शन हो गया अपने फेवर में मान लीजिए 20 लाख स्क्वायर फीट अभी 2 मिलियन बोल रहे हैं पहले वाले प्रेजेंटेशन में 2.8 मिलियन था अभी 2 मिलियन आया करेंट प्रेजेंटेशन में तो 2 मिलियन भी पकड़े तो 17.5% अपना 7.5% में 3.5 लाख हो जाता है तो 3.5 लाख जो अपने होता है उसमें अपना जो रियलाइजेशन होगा वो पूरा नेट अपने को मिलेगा या उसमें 3.5 लाख के अंदर में भी कोई अपने को कंप्रोमाइज करना है
नहीं उसमें एक्चुअली डिपेंड करेगा कि क्या चीज क्या स्ट्रक्चर की डील होती है
हो सकता है उसमें हमारे को कंस्ट्रक्शन कॉस्ट हमारे को बेयर करनी पड़ेगी, बेयर शेल की जो कंस्ट्रक्शन कॉस्ट है, और जो भाड़ा का प्रीमियम है वो हमारे को बेयर करना पड़ेगा। तो मान लो हाइपोथेटिकली, मतलब अगर मान लो वहाँ की रेट 30 से 40 हज़ार रुपये स्क्वायर फीट भी है और उसमें कंस्ट्रक्शन कॉस्ट 8 से 10 हज़ार स्क्वायर फीट हमारे को बेयर करनी पड़ेगी, और जो भी प्रीमियम आर्बिट्रेशन अवार्ड में आता है वो हमारे को बेयर करना पड़ेगा। तो उस वो रेवेन्यू से ही जाएगा, रेवेन्यू में से ही निकलेगा वो, जो भी हमारा रेवेन्यू है उसमें से।
डीबी के साथ में जेबी किए तो उसमें यह कंडीशन नहीं थी क्या कि भाई हम आपको जमीन दे रहे हैं आप डेवलप कीजिए, हम क्यों पैसा खर्च करें? जेबी में तो जनरली अमूमन यही होता है कि
जेबी में
लैंड ओनर,
हाँ तो कंडीशन यही है उसमें, लेकिन वो उस कंस्ट्रक्शन उसको कुछ सर्टेन एफएसआई तक ही करना है। अब ये जो एडिशनल एफएसआई जो आई है उसकी पूरी कंस्ट्रक्शन कॉस्ट पूरी वो नहीं करेंगे, तो एक सर्टेन एफएसआई तक कंस्ट्रक्शन कॉस्ट उनको बेयर करनी है, उसके आगे की एफएसआई की कंस्ट्रक्शन कॉस्ट सब अपनी अपनी शेयर की अपने आप बेयर करेंगे, ऐसा है हमारा एग्रीमेंट के साथ।
अच्छा, ये बात ये तो ठीक है, लॉजिकली दिमाग में बैठता है कि भाई जो ओल्ड एफएसआई अपने एक्सपेक्ट कर रहे थे जब एग्रीमेंट हुआ था उस समय अपने मान लीजिए 1.5 लाख 1.5 लाख या 1.25 लाख या 2 लाख था, तो वो तो अगला डीबी रियल्टी या डीबी रियल्टी किसके साथ में सब कंट्रैक्ट करता है वो अपना कर करके देगा अपने को एज इट इज विदाउट एनी बर्डन ओनर्स। और अबाउट दैट 1.5 या 2 लाख के अपने 3.5 आता तो 1.5 लाख स्क्वायर फीट का अपने को 10,000 रुपये स्क्वायर फीट का या वो अपने को देना पड़ेगा, राइट?
हाँ, मतलब आगे की एडिशनल एक्सरसाइज का
हाँ वो ठीक। तो आप आज से 10 साल पहले भी 750 करोड़ रुपया रेवेन्यू पकड़ रहे थे, अब आपके एफएसआई बढ़ने के बाद और रेट वहाँ पर 30-40 हज़ार नहीं है बांद्रा में, तो जो सुनने में आता है वो तो अबो 50-60 थाउजेंड है, तो वो आप पीपीटी में 750 करोड़ ही लिख रहे हैं अभी, 750 करोड़ तो उसको बढ़ाइए आप प्रोजेक्टेड रेवेन्यू, तो आप 750 साल बाद वो उसी सेम ही रिपीट करते जा रहे हैं 10 साल पुराना।
मुंद्रा जी, ये सारे एस्टिमेट ही है, ये कोई भी चीज जब तक कोई डील कंक्लूड नहीं हो जाती है और रेवेन्यू रिकग्निशन चालू नहीं होता तब तक सब गेस्टिमेट ही रहेगा। गेस ही कर सकते हैं अपन, अगर हम थोड़ा सा कंजर्वेटिव होना प्रेफर करते हैं, क्या है कि इससे बेटर ही हो तो अच्छा ही है और होगा भी इससे बेटर ही।
थैंक यू। द नेक्स्ट क्वेश्चन इज फ्रॉम द लाइन ऑफ रजनीश पहल। As an individual investor, please go ahead.
Yeah, I have some two follow-up questions. In your previous presentation, you mentioned something about silo projects. So what are you targeting any projects in future for the silos?
Yeah, this is, I would like to answer this question. Silo project we have taken in the year 2017 from FCI. And the aggregation of land was a big challenge on the location where the railway station is nearby. So the time taken by us in major is in land aggregation. 20 acre land has been aggregated in both the location, Bihar and Gujarat. Some very small patch of land has been pending for government approval or local administrative approval. So without those approval, we are not able to execute the project. And we have applied to FCI for the time extension also. As soon as the small patch of land is aggregated, we will start execution of the project. And going forward in 2 to 3 years, we hope that we will be completing the project for the 30-year concession period with FCI. This is the status as of now. So we have not covered this in presentation because without land approval, we are not able to commit on anything.
And if you get all this project under execution, so what will be the revenue recognition, like rough revenue recognition per year for like 30 years?
The concession agreement speaks about 50 lakh rupees each location as a rental for every month. So both the projects combined together comes to 12 crore rupees per year as a revenue. And again, those interest expenses, depreciation expenses and admission expenses can be 9 to 10 crore rupees per year. So 2 crore may be roughly revenue, sorry, profit in this project for 30 years.
Understood. And what is your...
12 years, the debt will be over, so after 12 years, the profit
will be high. Understood. And what is your bid-win ratio for the projects which you are bidding for hydromechanical works and for the Jal Jeevan works?
Sorry, what was your question?
what is your bid win ratio, like tender win ratio?
Bid win ratio.
Like you
I would say, you know, whatever projects we have bid for so far, our success ratio has been quite strong. We have, you know, maybe lost out of 10 bids, I think I would say about 50%.
Okay, that's very good. And like, knowing last question is regarding this MHADA project, because this project is being delayed and it will take another 5-6 years to sell and do the realization of the amount. And when you have the tie-up with DED Realty, which is also like going through some tough times, and they are also selling their projects. So do you have in mind that you may diversify, like divest this business, like real estate business, and just focus on your core business of like EPC and turnkey projects?
Real estate is anyway not our core business. Whatever projects we have, we are right now having are all historic land bank that we have had. So real estate is not our focus business, and we will be just monetizing the current existing land bank, and that's it. After this, there will be no addition of new land bank.
Okay. And in this hydromechanical business, what I understand, when you do the like turnkey projects, after that there will be some repair and maintenance work also, like AMC kind of business. Do you also get that business, or you are not in that business?
Ladies and gentlemen, it seems we have lost the line for Mr. Vikas Kothari. We request all participants to please remain connected while we reconnect him. We have Mr. Kothari reconnected.
I would like to answer this question that in some projects, we do O&M for next 3 to 5 years after the completion of the project. And in some projects, government award us only for O&M or repair maintenance. Right now, we have projects like Sapurkhandi where we have O&M of 10 years. This kind of and what it will go between project authorities and us, depending upon the project and project nature.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Pinaki Banerjee from AUM Capital Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks for providing the opportunity again. Sir, just a hypothetical question. So since the real estate is not your mainstay business, do you have any plans to demerge it to for proper value unlocking of the company in future? Any plans for that?
No, we have only two projects going on in real estate, in one in Kolkata and one in Jaipur, and both the projects have been completed.
Okay.
So there is no need of any merger. We will get the revenue added in our consolidated balance sheet. So going forward, in the next 1 or 2 years, it will be over, and we don't need any merger process right now.
Okay.
It's better that we get the revenue of 300 to 400 to 500 crore rupees added in our revenue, coupled with the main core business revenue.
Okay, sir. Fine. Thanks. That's it.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsh Saraskar. As an individual investor, please go ahead.
Hi. I wanted to ask on the auditor's qualification which are reported on the Gurha Thermal Power Company Limited. Can you throw some light on that?
Yes. This project of lignite-based thermal project was taken by us some 10 years back in Rajasthan. And government couldn't provide us the access to the lignite. So we terminated the contact with government and filed an arbitration in the court. And the arbitration process is in going still hearing. And we have claimed 30 crore rupees as a compensation from the government for non-supply of access to the pits of lignite. This is going, and we are expecting that in next 2 to 3 years, this will be sorted out with government.
So why has auditor qualified his opinion on this and not on other arbitration projects?
Because the investment in Gurha Thermal is roughly 8 crore rupees, and auditor has qualified that this amount will be recoverable or not, it's not sure. So last year they had also qualified Bhilwara Jaipur Toll Private Limited, but since the final award has been received, they removed the qualification. Okay. This qualification is continuing because the award has not been received till now.
Got it. And other qualifications, if you can throw some light, there are, I think, 3-4 qualifications in the auditor's report.
Yeah, one qualification is on Rwanda project where we had booked a small invoice in May 22 for approximately 5 crore rupees. But the Rwanda authority changed the parameter of that invoice and told that this kind of engine is not to be supplied, this kind of engine is to be supplied. So the invoice which we raised for 6 crore rupees got partially rejected in March 23. So we reversed that invoice.
This is the one which you revised there again.
For Rwanda authority in Africa, yes.
Okay, this is the first, this qualification has been reported first time now, no?
First time, yeah, first time.
Okay, okay, thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to our participants, please press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Jitesh Chen as a shareholder. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. I have been a shareholder for the last many years of Om Infra. And in fact, very happy the way, I mean, from a revenue of 100 crores, the company has moved to about 700 crores. And the last 2 years, I have seen the company management getting quite ambitious. So can we probably expect an order book of around 5,000 crore plus very soon?
We are hoping that, Jitesh-ji, we are bidding for new projects in NHPC, Arunachal Pradesh, Jal Jeevan Mission project in MP and UP. We are hopeful that we will get addition of 1,000 crore order book in this year.
Okay.
If the margins are good, we will definitely back the order.
Okay. All the best for that, sir.
And for the project where the competition is very fierce. We are not bidding on those projects.
Okay. And also the new project I saw, there's something called this FGD systems. I mean, is this a new area of business that the company is looking to get into?
Yes, we are exploring with in joint venture with some party, but we cannot right now on this kind of project. We will be very opportunistic to decide on these projects whether we bid or not.
Okay. Okay. Anyways, all other points have been covered by most of them. So that's it from my side, and all the best to the management.
Thank you, Jitesh-ji.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, please press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vikas Kothari for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much for everyone's participation. We hope that we've been able to answer each and every question of all our valuable shareholders. As conveyed by me in my initial speech earlier, we are very positive, and we've had an astounding growth in our revenues, and we hope that we will continue the same going forward. And also we assure you that we shall continue to have such conference calls without any break. Feel free to reach out to us for any further queries, and I'll hand it over to Stellar.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Om Infra Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.